Truth.
This is an SRN News special report. Investigators say they have their man. I'm Rich Thomason. Utah Governor Spencer Cox announcing the arrest of a 22-year-old Utah man who allegedly shot and killed Charlie Kirk.
We got him. On the evening of September 11th, a family member of Tyler Robinson reached out to a family friend who contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office with information that Robinson had confessed to them or implied that he had committed the incident.
Cox says the suspect had grown increasingly political, FBI Director Cash Patel.
This is what happens when you let good cops be cops. The FBI and our partners are proud to stand here today together to bring justice to the family of Charlie Kirk and honor his memory.
The suspect's father saw surveillance photos, worked with a pastor to encourage a surrender in Kirk's killing. This according to an AP source. This has been an SRN News special report. I'm Rich Thomas.
Are you searching for good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials? Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. We have as our special guest today, Marshall Wood. Marshall is a retired Air Force special missions pilot. And we're talking about the events that's leading us to recognize more and more each and every day that we're actually living in the last of the last days. We're witnessing pure evil as it comes forth from all sources. Marshall, just before the news break, we're talking about the need for men to be the leaders of the home and the church and in our government that will stand up for truth as Charlie Kirk did. I never will forget listening to him on several occasions where he was confronted by the evil, wicked Marxist mindset for some of the students in some of the colleges, and I don't know that I've ever seen anybody be able to handle it with any smoother, calm grace than Charlie would always handle it.
Absolutely.
But I'm looking at an article that says, watch this video and an article, watch Governor Pritzker blame Trump and the January 6th event for Charlie Kirk's assassination. The article reads, the far-left Governor J.B. Pritzker went far beyond offering any condolences for Charlie Kirk's family. He pinned the blame for the deadly assassination on conservative commentator Charlie Kirk squarely on Donald Trump, invoking the January 6th riot as the violent precursor to what had happened to Charlie Kirk. And now we hear the news, and I'm glad it's news, Marshall, that we understand that the perpetrator of the assassination has been caught. It is my prayer that there will be quick, swift justice brought about. Not vindication, not retribution, but justice is what is needed. Kenneth, thank you for hanging on until after the news break. Finish your conversation and your question.
Okay. Yes, sir. Like I was saying, like a gay pride parade, I don't know if you know it or not, but they have drones to make sure they're safe. Charlie Kirk was in a wide open instead of in a closed-in area. And he just had, I think, 10 security people. But nobody did anything about the outside perimeter, like when our president got hit in the ear. Nobody did the outside perimeter. And people were telling him, hey, he got a gun. Telling the cops, I think the special forces, the FBI. But nobody did nothing. We are living in evil times right now.
Absolutely, we certainly are. And Kenneth, one of the things that I pray that our listeners understand today, we're living in perilous times, evil times, wicked times, and we're witnessing the promulgation and the increasing of that. And that should cause us as Christians to be aware of that and should cause us to stand up for the truth more and more. In fact, going back to Charlie Kirk as the example, and his example ought to be modified and recognized and mirrored in men that love the Lord across America today. However, we're seeing a cowardice that I don't believe I've seen in my lifetime, a mindset that I'm going to hide in the closet, hide under the bed, and be quiet. And I'm speaking to a lot of pastors now, and so I say to any pastor, grow a spine, grow a backbone, take a stand, even to death, stand up for truth. And that's what I use as the introductory pre-monologue quote each and every morning on the broadcast, as Jan Hus said, that we need to learn the truth, live the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and be willing to stand for truth, even to death. And that's what Charlie Kirk did. And I pray that that will be a blessing to all of our listeners and a challenge to us. Go ahead with your final thought.
Can I say one thing?
All right.
He was a modern day Stephen to me.
Absolutely.
Because Stephen stood up against the powers to be.
He stood for truth and was martyred for the truth. In fact, that is a good example of that. Absolutely. But Kenneth, it demands that we keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. More and more every day as we see that, we recognize the truth of the Word of God. Thanks so much for your call, and God bless you today. I believe Jose's on the line. Jose, go with the question or comment, please.
I mean, it's so sad to see what's going on, brother, in America. But this is a worldwide pattern with the leftists, the social communists, because the mantra, I blame the politicians. They are the ones calling Trump since 2016 Hitler, Nazi, homophobic, you name it. Are you kidding me? There's people that mentally they weak, and they believe that that's what it is. Oh, he's going to end democracy. He's going to start World War III. You got, crazy people out there that they believe those things in notepads or anything. And now it gets worse with the artificial intelligence. So these people believe those things. But I blame the politicians, especially the Democrats. And not only here, it's worldwide. You got the ex-president from Brazil, Bolsonaro. He was attacked with a knife like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You got the one from Argentina, Milei. He was attacked as well. You got one guy running for president in Ecuador. He was killed before election time. Remember Ron Paul here in the U.S.? Paul, he was attacked. Scalise, the representative, remember? He was almost killed by one of the Democrat supporters. And then you got Judge Kavanaugh when he was running for office.
Yes.
They were going to do an attack. Now we got Trump. Now we got Charlie Kirk. I mean, this is the left. Worldwide, that's what the left does. In Le Pen, she was attacked in France like 2 years ago because the rhetoric and the way that the social communists call you. I'm pretty sure you've been called a racist, a dictator, a right wing. And the funny thing is, how you hear any in the media calling it a hate crime? I'm still waiting for the liberals to say that this was a hate crime. None of them has mentioned a hate crime, but this was a hate crime. And
no question about it. In fact, Jose, if I could jump in for just a moment, I believe it was a direct attack, if I may be bold enough to say this, a direct attack on Charlie Kirk's spirituality, his Christianity. Now, sure, yes. He was a conservative, he was a patriot, but in every one of his speeches, all of his confrontations, he had grace and he showed kindness,
polite.
But he was absolutely unequivocally sharp as a knife and direct as an arrow when he would say, talk about his relationship to Jesus Christ, and the whole point being in his speeches and his messages, and several of them, he said, the only answer to society today is to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let him rule your life rather than you ruling your life. And that's what we have, that's the missing element today in our society. That's what's bringing on the chaos, the confusion, calamity that we're seeing in our nation today. Marshall, what say you?
Well, you touched the third rail here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to be as brief as I can. I'd like to tell you a story of a man I swore into the Air Force in 1981, a young man that I led to Christ a few years before I swore him in. He went on to be a squadron commander of a major European fighter unit that we had, quite a war hero in the war in the Balkans, a man who was in the executive branch as an advisor to the presidential staff, and he was so smart that they sent him to Harvard for additional education.
Mm-hmm.
While he was at Harvard, what the cultural Marxists began to do in the 1930s, particularly at the universities of the Ivy League, he became very corrupted in his thinking. Thinking he was smart, he became stupid.
Mm-hmm.
A fine man, an excellent fighter pilot, but he began to send me all these articles that he was reading at Harvard, one of which was The Tao of Physics, a fairly well-known liberal esoteric book, and other things that completely changed the man that I knew when I swore him into the Air Force out of the Academy in 1981. The point is this. The most effective things that the cultural Marxists began to do in the 1930s when they infiltrated this country and began to take down the seven mountains of culture,
yes,
justice system, educational system, family law, all those things, was to completely indoctrinate the educational community, and Carter assisted them in the 80s and the 70s when he founded the Department of Education.
Yes.
To completely put every essential piece of information that is the foundation of America with respect to correct history and correct political thought and invert it.
Yes.
And to begin to teach us that we need to question our ways. Should we really do this? Maybe there's a better way of looking at it. And that infiltrated, among others, that Department of Education that Jimmy Carter set up, the old Southern Baptist boy.
Mm-hmm. And we see the trickle down of that today.
Corrupted our country, and I have a very personal example of what happened. A very senior military officer that I swore into the Air Force, who was rock solid in the beginning,
still
a pretty good fighter pilot, but began to have his head turned into a skull of mush.
Yes, and the process has not ceased. Jose, we see the process today, as Marshall is talking about, that is the sexualization, the weaponization in our educational system that causes the sons and the daughters and our grandkids that's in colleges and universities to
yes.
hate God, to hate America,
yes.
and to question anything that's moral, ethical, and
yes.
valuable. In fact, if I could go back to the full circle, Charlie Kirk, when on one occasion he was challenged by a know-it-all in college, he said to Charlie Kirk, he said, well, you didn't even finish college. Charlie Kirk said, no, I never went to college. I didn't feel that I needed to go to college. God has blessed me, used me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of people today that college ruins, destroys their lives. I'm
yes.
thankful to see a president today and an administration today that's not focused on everybody must have a sheepskin hanging on the wall. Most of the time, it's not worth the paper it's written on as far as what it does in the educational process. And so we need to go back to basics and understand mm-hmm. that God is the one that we need to focus on, following the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word, and allowing God to direct us. I am thankful, though, Jose, again, I mentioned that the assassin has been caught, 22 years old. I've read four or five articles this morning about that. I listened to it first thing this morning, and it was President Trump sitting on the curvy couch with Fox and Friends on television, that an announced this had been done, and mm-hmm. that it, I believe it was 9 or 9:15 when it was publicly announced that they had caught the assassin. Now, I am thankful also, Jose, that as I understand the chain of events, that the parents recognized the son. They talked with the pastor. The pastor had a friend that was in law enforcement. Between law enforcement and the pastor, they convinced the father that he needs to turn the son in, and that's exactly what took place. I am thankful that the assassin has been caught. I'm concerned, if I can say this boldly, of the pictures I've looked at, the words I have read in relationship to this 22-year-old. One writer said mm-hmm. it was 23 years old. I question whether or not this individual is going to be able to plead insanity because of what I read, there's a problem with his thinking. I'm looking at an article that says, transgender and anti-fascist messages engraved on the bullets in the gun in the gun that was found in Kirk's assassination. So the man, is the elevator doesn't go to the top floor, in my opinion. And I'm prayerful that that doesn't wind up being an excuse in his process, his criminal charges, to get him off the air and off the charges in some fashion. I don't say this with a mean heart, but I believe he needs to be, he's caught, he needs to be tried, convicted, and since Utah still has the death penalty, and they have, I believe in Utah, Marshall, I believe they had three choices, by the firing squad, the old Sparky, as I call it, the electric chair, or to be hung. And so I don't know which of those will be chosen, but I am thankful that it's still the law in Utah. And the word of God is very clear that you take a life and you're gonna, your life is to be given.
That's right.
That was the first formation of civil government, Genesis chapter 9. When civil government was first formed, it was based on capital punishment.
Let no one give him shelter.
That's right. Absolutely. So Jose, it deserves our prayer. We need to keep looking up, keep praying that God will intervene and give us wisdom. I believe Greg's on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
I just have a couple casual observations. Woody, it is very good to hear your voice, my brother.
God bless
you. One observation, it does seem that as we are in the midst of these last of the last days, in the context of that Matthew 24, the Mark 13, and Luke 21, I guess, we should expect such things. You know, the violence will increase and believers will be targeted specifically for our faith. Now, they've made a martyr with Charlie Kirk. He was the most peaceful, kind, loving, articulate spokesman not only of his generation but perhaps the best. I mean, off the charts phenomenal young man. Mm-hmm. He was consuming about 150 books a year. He was probably one of the most well-read people on the face of the planet, and all he asked for was communication. He actually repeatedly warned that when communication breaks down, people get violent. And on that note, shifting to the political world, during the 8 years or 12 years of Obama Biden, we heard repeatedly that the number one threat to the homeland was right-wing extremist violence. Mm-hmm. I challenge folks today, show me. And you know what? I hear two things. I hear only two things. January 6th. You know what? You can name probably on one or two hands those people that did something they really shouldn't have done and really deserve jail time. And you had thousands that got law enforcement escorted tours of the Capitol, and then they put them in jail. They took the shaman, the fellow with the horns that was a little, he's off,
yeah.
Okay? He got a law enforcement tour. They opened the doors for him. That man, according to the left, was a violent right-wing extremist and needed to be put in jail for 4 years.
Greg, let me inject something just a moment. I was there, and everything that was reported on January the 6th is a lie. It is a lie. Now, there were some elements that were not good, but you're absolutely right in what you're characterizing it as. I was there, and I saw the instigators, the federal instigators, leading people by the nose, which is why I wasn't one of those that followed into the Capitol building. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, it is a shame, it is a sad shame, that Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists have been tagged. We're tagged by leftists, the likes of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Schumer and Schiff. And right, we can go all the way down the list. We're tagged as being the violent ones, but they can't point their finger at an event and say, see, this is other than January 6th. You go, that's a really poor one. One person died on January 6th. She was an Air Force and Reserves veteran, unarmed little 130-pound woman, white woman, killed by a black man.
Shot by the criminal Michael Byrd.
Executed by Michael Byrd. And somehow or another, that was okay. We had cities on fire after Michael Brown and the lie of hands up, don't shoot. So up is down and down is up, and the scripture makes very clear, woe unto him that calls good evil, and evil they call good. That's where we are today. That's touching, yes, again, the biblical. Yes. On the political yet again, being identified by the left, you know, again, aggressive, violent right-wing extremism, we've had now 9 cases, I believe, mass shootings by transgenders.
Yes.
By the way, as a percentage of the population, they're a very, 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 very low percentage. But as a percentage of mass shooters, they're like all by themselves in the past couple of years. They're the ones doing these things. And they're within the camp of the left, and the left has for a decade now chanted violent rhetoric. Now, and of course, they've on top of that, chanted their violent rhetoric and then called out Donald Trump, all the MAGA crowd, more than half the nation, and said, y'all are Nazis. Well, if you ask any college-age person, hey, if you had your chance and you could go back to 1935, or go back to when Adolf Hitler was born, would you kill him in the cradle? And one after another say, yeah, absolutely. You know, he's responsible for millions of lives. Well, what do you think they're saying when they call Trump a Nazi? By the way, they can't properly define Nazi.
That's
as
right.
The fascist, socialist, leftist system that it was. The term Nazi has been redefined as a right-wing extremist, you know, No. Those people were endorsing and embracing a totalitarian socialism, exactly like, you know, AOC is today. It's exactly like Bernie Sanders is today. Yes. Exactly like Mamdani is today. Understand, they're the ones using that rhetoric. And by the way, I'm not calling for anybody to shoot. I'm just saying that rhetoric, the rhetoric of the National Socialist, is coming out of the left. It's not coming out of the right.
Well, Greg, isn't that what they call gaslighting, where they try to cast the shadow on those of us that are conservative Christian patriots, that we're the fault, we're the cause, and yet not coming to bat with the truth of what is taking place. In fact, when you talk about the events of January the 6th, most are not aware of the fact, Marshall, I don't know if you're aware of the fact, that they've Trump administration and the DOJ has discovered that all of the documents for the January 6th hearings have been burned.
Oh, yeah.
Burned, disappeared, made to disappear. Greg, it deserves our prayer and our continual vigilance. Before I let you go, up in the southern tip of heaven, what's the weather like today?
Oh, it is absolutely beautiful, fantastic. God's fingerprints all over these knobs and hollers. And that's what I say, those ridges and valleys. Those are the fingerprints of God right here in East Tennessee.
Well, I have to ask you a serious question. Our listeners will not understand, but you do. Do you see any red in the mountains?
Poor fella, my daddy's colorblind, everybody. I just want y'all to know. I love the man, but he can't see the beautiful red in some of these hills.
Greg, thank you.
Y'all have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks so much for calling in. Marshall, as we think about the process of evil that is taking place today, let's talk about for just a moment the young woman from Ukraine,
yes,
that had come to America for safety and security. She was working at a pizza place. She was wanting a better life. She gets on the train in North Carolina. She sits down. She starts pondering her cell telephone. All of it's on video. And a black man behind her stands up, opens his pocket knife, and stabs her in the throat, cuts her throat 3 times. She falls over, bleeds out on the floor. 5 people witnessing, doing nothing, saying nothing, not standing up for her. What do we see of that whole picture? Now, as I've said before, and very briefly touching on this, a lot of people call it, if you say anything about this, you're racist because you talk about it. Well, my position is, I don't care what color you are, what your skin tonation may be, if you do the crime, you need to do the time.
Yes.
Yet this man had been let out, even on felonies, 14 times. What do we see with that, with what we're focused on today, with the epitome of evil?
Well, I take something personal away from this. We sometimes feel that we're in a vacuum and things happen to other people. Mm-hmm. I have a son who lives in Charlotte. His wife has a hairdresser who's from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Her best friend was Irina, the lady who was stabbed to death.
Mm. Small world.
Two people removed from the event.
Small world.
These things are going to increase. And I can speak with some expertise on this because of my background. I don't want to go into that now. But one of the things that the cultural Marxists are doing, did, is to cause division between the two groups that can be the most divided, the white community and the black community.
Yes.
We who have the most in common, and I hope we can do a show on this sometime in the future about the commonality of black and white and what good has come out of it. But we have the cultural Marxists that have exacerbated the natural line of division between black and white. And where we are going is more of what you just saw.
Yeah.
We just saw.
Very dark time.
And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, details the last of the 7 great abominations. You catch the word abomination? Mm-hmm. And they who sow discord amongst brethren. There is no more natural affinity than black and white, provable just in the NFL. But it is also the point of greatest schism in our country, with the greatest potential for horrible violence because of what has been taught in prison, because of the billions of dollars that the House of Saud in Saudi Arabia has poured into our system for radicalizing, particularly black guys in jail, for the Muslim cause.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a true statement, but I'm going to tell you where it came
from.
Yes.
By the way, within Marxism, and I've studied it, not in depth, but I've studied it enough, there are 10 major points in Marxism. I've boiled it down to 3. And the Marxist agenda, it is to destroy the nuclear family, divide by ethnicity, and dethrone God. And that's what we see taking place today. We can look at everything that's taking place, and it boils down to those 3 things. Marsh, we've got about 10 seconds. Wrap us up before we close our broadcast today.
People, support this ministry. That's what I want to say today.
Amen.
Support Dr. Youngblood. He's speaking the truth. You heard it today.
Amen. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.